Is AI friend or foe? As large language models and other forms of artificial intelligence continue to make inroads into human civilization, the future economy will belong to those who can master it. Here with advice on how you can be on the right side of the revolution is Jeremy Kahn, author of the new book, Mastering AI, A Survival Guide to Our Superpowered Future. Jeremy is an award-winning journalist for Fortune magazine and writes the weekly newsletter, Eye on AI. He's also written for the New York Times, Newsweek, The Atlantic, and Smithsonian magazines. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Kahn, and I'm a journalist at Fortune magazine, where I lead a team of reporters that covers artificial intelligence. I'm also the author of Mastering AI, A Survival Guide to Our Superpowered Future. As you're probably aware, we are currently living through an artificial intelligence boom. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is software that is designed to mimic or exceed human intelligence, and AI has recently made some giant leaps forward, particularly in its ability to create content, from all kinds of written documents to digital art, music, and video. AI has also gotten better at reasoning and may soon be able to accomplish goals that we give it. These new capabilities are leading to rapid adoption of AI by consumers, businesses, militaries, and governments. Mastering AI is my attempt to explain how we got to this moment and what it all means. What it means for ourselves, our personal lives, and our professional lives, and what it also means for the companies we work for, our economy, broader society, and democracy. I'm going to share with you five insights from my book. In doing so, I'll try to debunk some common misconceptions about AI's likely impact. And hopefully, I'll give you some new insights about what AI will actually do and how we can ensure its impact is beneficial. Insight number one, AI will not lead to mass unemployment. One of the most common misconceptions about AI is that we are all going to lose our jobs, that it will lead to mass unemployment. This is not true, at least not anytime soon. The reason is that while AI has become more capable, it still isn't good enough to do all of the tasks that constitute most people's work. AI can help us do a lot of things, but it still needs human supervision, so there are still going to be employees. However, what they do might change. We are mostly going to be using these tools as professional assistants, what are often called co-pilots, not as autopilots that will do it all for us. For most knowledge workers, accountants, lawyers, doctors, marketing executives, software developers, consultants, architects, and analysts, demands for their collective services outstrip supply. In most professions, there are far too few skilled workers. This supply constraint is one reason people in these professions are able to charge so much for their labor. But as a result, many individuals and companies, small businesses in particular, cannot access these services because of the high cost. AI changes this equation. It makes existing knowledge workers more productive and also allows a group of workers who currently don't have the formal qualifications or experience to work as software coders, lawyers, or accountants to take on at least some of the work these professionals currently perform. Increasing the supply of people who can perform these tasks should lower the cost of these services. That's good for the economy as a whole. And by allowing these less skilled, less formally educated workers to take on professional tasks, you also take a group of people who increasingly have been squeezed out of the middle class, forced to work in lesser paid jobs, often in retail or hospitality, and give them the chance to lift themselves back into the middle class. That too is good for the economy as a whole. This trend will mean, however, that some highly paid professionals could see their earnings shrink. There might be a backlash against this. But overall, AI should be good for the economy, and if we play our cards right, improve income inequality. Now, there are ways to get this wrong, as I warn in the book. If we look at AI only as a way to replace people, directly substituting for human labor, we will still get economic growth, but the distribution of wealth created by that growth will be extremely uneven. Income inequality will get worse. We need to guard against that. One way to do so is with a robot tax that would affect businesses that deploy automation, see sales grow, but lay off workers at the same time. Instituting a robot tax would incentivize companies not to use AI to directly eliminate jobs. Insight number two. The biggest risk AI poses is to our own intelligence, both IQ and EQ. As we come to rely on AI, there's a danger that our own human cognitive and social skills will atrophy. Sociologist Daniel Bell and anthropologist Jack Goody called the tools we use to produce and disseminate knowledge intellectual technologies. When we use an intellectual technology, it doesn't just change what we do and how we do it, it changes how we think. AI is the ultimate intellectual technology. Modern neuroscience has demonstrated that our brains are very adaptable. Neural pathways we use often are strengthened, but those we don't use wither. studies have consistently shown that relying on software can rewire our brains. When we use GPS to navigate, we pay far less attention to our surroundings. Younger people, who have grown up without ever having to use maps or simply remember a route, have far worse navigational skills than older adults. Similarly, when we use Google to look up information, we remember less. Dutch cognitive psychologist Christoph van Nimwegen conducted research that showed when we use software to assist us in solving problems, it becomes a crutch, and we never develop effective problem-solving strategies of our own. Similarly, AI threatens to diminish our human cognitive skills. If we rely on AI to do analysis for us, our critical thinking will be dulled. We will tend to accept the capsule answers and responses AI gives us. AI encourages the dangerous proposition that writing is severable from thinking. With AI chatbots, it is easy to provide a short prompt or a few bullet points and tell the chatbot to write the essay or the speech or the business strategy document for us. But the act of writing actually sharpens our thinking. Our ideas get better when we are forced to explain them in sentences, not bullet points. Arguments come into sharper relief. We construct narratives that make our points more salient and memorable. This is the reason that Jeff Bezos, the CEO and founder of Amazon, banned PowerPoint presentations, because it encouraged a kind of lazy thinking and critical information got lost in the slide decks. AI could make this tendency to reduce thought and expression to bullet points far worse. It isn't just our intellects that might rust thanks to our reliance on AI. Our social skills could be damaged too. Some people are proposing that AI chatbots could be a cure for loneliness or even an aid to mental health, helping to deliver therapy. But so far, the research on this is spotty. We should be cautious. Already, some people are using chatbots for companionship and even romantic and erotic fulfillment. Dialogue with a chatbot may sound convincingly human-like, but our relationships with this software is decidedly one-sided. Chatbots have no needs, make no demands, rarely challenge us, and tolerate all kinds of abuse. So interacting with a chatbot does not teach someone to build meaningful and lasting human relationships. What dialogue with a chatbot is, however, is a lot easier, a lot less messy, and a lot less difficult than a real human relationship. So it would not be surprising if some people prefer chatbot companions to real human friends or lovers. This will increase, not decrease, social isolation. So AI might not only degrade our intellectual prowess, our IQ, but our emotional intelligence, our EQ, as well. As much as our intellect, these emotional skills sit at the heart of what makes us human. We should not let them atrophy. Insight number 3. Training people will be more important than training AI. If you've been following some of the news about AI, you will have heard a lot of discussion and debate about what data was used to train different AI software. Training data for AI is important for a number of reasons, including concerns about data privacy, copyright, and the biases that AI models may learn from the data. But actually, how we train people to use AI is more important, and you won't have heard much about this. Soon, AI will be assisting us to perform many tasks in our work and our daily lives, but they won't do everything for us, so we are going to need to learn how to work alongside AI effectively, and that is going to require us to develop some new skills. We will need to learn what tasks are best handled by the model and which we ought to reserve to do ourselves. We will need to learn how best to provide a set of instructions to the AI software, what people in the AI field call a prompt, so that the software does what we want. In order to do both those things, we will need a good understanding of how the AI system works, what are its strengths, but also what are its weaknesses, and how is it likely to fail. In Mastering AI, I spend time with an organization that has put a lot of thought into how people can best work alongside automated systems, NASA. The space agency knows that on future missions to Mars, a journey of at least 6 months, astronauts will need to rely on many automated systems, including AI assistants. NASA has been researching how best these assistants can communicate information to astronauts. It is particularly concerned about two human cognitive biases that tend to affect people when they interact with technology. One is called automation bias. Automation bias is the tendency to think that the computer always knows best and to rely on its suggestions even if they contradict other data, including our own senses, that should be telling us that the computer might be wrong. The other bias is called automation surprise. This occurs when an automated system does go wrong. We often take a lot longer to realize this has happened and take corrective action when software automation fails than when a mechanical system breaks. Our confusion in these circumstances can give way to panic, leading people to take actions that make the situation worse. From its research, NASA has discovered that the best way to overcome both of these cognitive biases is to give astronauts what it calls a mental model of how an AI system works and what its limits are. NASA uses frequent simulations to train its astronauts and build up that mental model before it ever pairs AI with astronauts in a real spacecraft. It is something many companies should consider in this new AI era, using both training courses and hands-on simulations to make sure people grasp what AI can do, what it can't do, how best to use it, and what to do if it fails. Insight number four, AI's biggest positive impacts will be in education and medicine. When ChatGPT came out, teachers were in a panic. Students were using the chatbot to cheat, and educators were full of dire predictions. One commentator declared that AI had killed the college essay. Several major school districts in the U.S. banned access to ChatGPT, and universities in Australia said that to prevent AI-assisted cheating, they would revert to in-person, handwritten final examinations. It is certainly true that some students have used AI to cheat, but the technology will, if we use it correctly, transform education for the better. AI has the potential to put a personal tutor in the pocket of every student, providing the one-on-one support too few students have access to today. This, in fact, was a vision Apple founder Steve Jobs laid out in a now-famous speech he gave in Sweden in 1985. Jobs talked about the potential of the personal computer to one day allow students to learn from Aristotle, who had been Alexander the Great's personal tutor. At the time, the technology to make good on this vision did not exist. Today, thanks to AI, it does. Students can ask an AI chatbot to role-play as Aristotle, or Leonardo da Vinci, or Frederick Douglass, or Ada Lovelace, or any historical figure, and converse with them. To really get the value from AI in education, educators will need to change how they teach. They will need to institute flipped classrooms, where the part of education that involves simply receiving information is done at home, either through video recorded lectures or assigned reading, while class time is reserved for problem sets, written assignments, lab work, and crucially, for small group discussion. AI can help here too. While the teacher makes their way around the classroom, providing individual feedback and support, AI can be the ultimate teaching assistant, providing personalized support to the other students. Insights from these AI tutors can help human teachers better target their individual interventions, and AI can help teachers plan lessons and create supporting material, such as worksheets or quizzes. The other area where AI's positive impact will far outweigh any negative effects is in medicine. AI is already helping scientists to discover new drugs in record time. It has done so by helping to unlock how DNA sequences determine the shape of proteins. Some of these drugs are far more potent, with far fewer harmful side effects than those discovered using more traditional methods. The same kinds of large language models that power ChatGPT are being trained on vast libraries of biological and chemical data. This is allowing us to make rapid leaps. One day soon, scientists may be able to specify the kind of drug they want in more or less plain English and get essentially a DNA or chemical recipe for creating that drug. And that's not the only way AI is poised to revolutionize medicine. It is also enabling far more personalized treatments tailored to our individual DNA profiles. Combined with the increasing use of wearable and implantable medical sensors, we and our doctors will be able to review far more data collected continuously about our own health and intervene earlier and more effectively to head off disease and injury. While there are some risks in AI's application to life sciences, including a slightly elevated risk of bioterrorism, the positive impact AI will have on health far outweighs these concerns. Insight number five, we still have the power to shape the development of AI. We need to use it. Too often, people see technology as something that happens to them, about which they have no choice and no agency. That's wrong in general, and it's especially wrong when it comes to AI. This is still a nascent developing technology. We have tremendous power to shape the course of its development, even if we aren't one of the few people working at a tech company and building the AI models. Our power comes from our role as a consumer, customer, employee, and citizen. We must use that power. No one is going to force us to use AI software to substitute for our own creativity or the expression of our own emotions when it comes to tasks such as writing a parent's obituary or designing a birthday card for our child. No one is going to force us to interact with a chatbot daily instead of seeking out real human connection and companionship. We must not be lazy and fall into these traps. At work, our companies may increasingly mandate that we work with AI co-pilots. But here too, we have tremendous power as employees, especially now as this technology is just taking shape, to tell our employers how we want this technology to be used and what interfaces and guardrails we want to see put in place in our own workplaces. We need to make our voices clear that AI must be deployed in ways that augment human workers, not in ways that seek to replace them. Finally, we have tremendous power as citizens and voters to demand that our governments regulate AI. We should use it. Nationally, we need a strong agency to oversee AI development and ensure it doesn't pose undue risks. Policies like a robot tax can help encourage businesses to complement human labor with AI. Internationally, we need standards and an agency to help all countries deploy AI safely and call out those that don't. Achieving this governance is challenging, but possible. We've successfully regulated nuclear, biological, and chemical technologies before. We must seize our opportunity to govern AI. In fact, the only way AI will wind up controlling us is if we don't seize the chance to shape its development. By using our human agency and intelligence, we can master AI and ensure a superpowered future.
Thank you, Jeremy. That was Jeremy Kahn with 5 Big Ideas from AI, a survival guide to our superpowered future. You might also like our book bite for The Singularity is Nearer, When We Merge with AI by Ray Kurzweil. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.